Welcome to Do Wonders, the podcast that highlights the incredible work and stories of the Century Autism team. I'm Timothy Yeager.
And I'm Lisa Cunningham. In each episode, we take you behind the scenes to meet the dedicated professionals who make a difference in the lives of our clients and their families.
Through these conversations, you'll get to know the personal journeys, the challenges, and the successes that truly define our team.
Whether you're part of the Centria family or just curious about the amazing work happening here, we're glad you're with us.
So join us in diving into the wonders of Centria Autism. Hi, Loida. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Timothy. Thanks for having me.
Of course. I'm really excited to have this time with the three of us. I've just hit my four-year mark at Centria, and while I was thinking about this podcast, I was thinking about the journey that we've been on together across these 4 years and how our paths have intertwined and connected. Now we're in the same department, and so I'm just excited to have this time together.
I remember when you first started. I mean, middle of COVID.
Yeah.
And so your meet and greets were all online, and I was like, hi. Yeah.
We talked about that in Lisa's podcast, because I remember online meeting Lisa for the first time as well, and her camera was off. And all I just was blown away with by someone who spoke so fast and so articulate.
But my mouth wasn't even moving because it was just a picture of me.
It could have been AI.
So impressive.
Well, Loida, for the audience, how about you tell everyone what you do at Centria, and maybe some of the different roles that you've had along the way?
Yeah. So I am the Director of Training Development here at Centria. I've been here for a little over 5 years. Yep. Lisa was my first leader here. And I think of my role as almost like a traffic controller. So I work with a lot of different team members, trying to just make their vision of learning come alive. So it could be through interviewing and just finding out what they really want, what they need, and trying to weigh that against business priorities.
Sure.
And then also working with, team members. Whenever I can. I really enjoy working with team members.
That's awesome. You were hired as Director of Training and Development, and yes. You still are Director of Training and Development.
Yes.
But the role you're hired for. Yeah, it does. I feel like the role that we hired you for has evolved in really great ways. Could you talk a little bit about maybe what that journey has been here? And yes, COVID was 1 year in, so it certainly changed gears, but just for people to understand a little bit about your role and your journey.
Yeah, so originally I was brought on board to really dig into the professional development for our team members in the resource center.
Yeah.
So we were looking at their job roles and what maybe training paths would be appropriate for them. And just to start, dipping people's toes into learning and into what they really want, which is at the time they were asking for professional development.
Yep.
So we were just about ready to launch a pretty big curriculum, and then COVID happened, and it completely changed the trajectory of the needs of the company.
Yeah.
And to me,
I used to see all over the research.
Yes.
Yeah.
Propel.
Yes. Yeah. It was the Propel that just didn't happen.
Failed to launch.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, absolutely. It was failure to launch. It wasn't the right time. But I would say certainly during COVID, I was retasked in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
I was doing things that weren't really in my job, my core job description.
Sure.
And yet, they allowed me to learn so much about the company and really celebrate the people that we work with.
Yeah.
I mean, it just gave me a completely different insight into who Centria is. So while there's a lot of bad things that can be said about COVID, I would say that I really enjoyed the learnings that I took from it from a professional perspective.
Yeah. I think about some of the things that you've had kind of your fingerprints all over, and I don't think it's very visible to most people, which is maybe your preference.
I am kind of in the background, not like Wizard of Oz type of thing, but just,
But not like it, right?
Yeah, I like if you were to see me in the wild, you probably wouldn't see me actually. I just like ducking behind people.
Yeah.
But I think what's really comfortable for me is just when I'm working with team members. But I have been a part of a lot of amazing projects here.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, we've done a couple of reboots of clinical orientation.
Mm-hmm.
And after COVID, we were involved in a pretty robust training program to get, we had to look at clinical orientation completely different.
Yeah.
We went from training everyone in-house, having them fly into the resource center, and to having to have a completely remote program. And we had to make some changes, and we had to make them fast. And I was happy to be a part of that. Currently, we are in the middle of switching up behavior technician training.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a couple iterations of that.
Absolutely.
And that's the great thing about training, is that you're never done.
Yeah.
You know, there's always opportunity for improvement. And then this week as well, we're also looking at a pilot for clinical orientation training to maybe extend it to 2 weeks.
Yeah.
To allow the clinicians more hands-on time.
Yeah. I think that's great. I also think about, you know, even when we talk about BT training, so that's a lot of different things. It's how it's offered, right? It's the content that obviously, Timothy, the clinical team you've been part of, and making sure that it's, you know, much different than the Relias, or some people might remember Learning Blocks modules that, you know, we had years ago. But I think you are also an incredible part of, you know, right now all of our training it's paid training. Like, you're an employee on day one, and that's not how it used to be. And you helped to pilot that in Arizona, actually, in 2020. And I think about that too. I think you're really talented with the training, the development elements of that, you know, building out a team to be able to deploy these things. But your project management, I think, is really, that's another skill of yours. And I'd like to talk a little bit. Is that something that you learned here at Centria, or was that, I know you had like 17 years at your previous organization?
Yeah, so where I worked at previously, this is going to age me, but we rolled out EMR, which stands for Electronic Medical Record.
Yep.
So this was to a large organization that saw clients in the home, or patients, since they were working with Medicare. And we had to launch the EMR to offices all over the country, and to, you know, probably about 200 physicians. And that was really serious. I mean, there were a lot of steps to it. And I mean, before that, we didn't have a system that the providers used. They were on paper. They used paper charts.
Wow.
And so to go from, hey, document this on paper, to here's a computer,
mm-hmm.
and this is how you turn it on. We did have some people exit the organization. They were just like, nope, I'm retiring.
Not for me.
But during that time, you had to learn logistics. I didn't have a choice. I had to figure out how to make this happen, within the deadline and with the resources that we had.
Mm-hmm.
And it also meant that we had to pivot. We had to change our training structure as a result. And in the beginning, we thought, okay, well, we have the resources. We're going to have like one-on-one time with every doctor. And then we're just like, oh, no, we can't. We can't have one-on-one time. We had to say, okay, like, we're going to train a class of providers, and then we're going to have to depend on the offices to provide the support,
mm-hmm.
which also meant training that office. And I really see that as just a, you know, in the beginning, you have a lot of thoughts about how training should go. And ideally, one-on-one, who wouldn't want one-on-one training? But from a business perspective, it's just not feasible.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where I learned a lot of it, is just through mistakes.
Yeah.
Through victories, there were a lot of wins and a lot of misses. And really, that's just how you learn.
Yeah, I hear you.
When I think about our time together, you talk about the orientation reboots. The one that you talked about was the first one.
Yes. Right?
And then, you know, we had a second one, which is like really its current state today, for the most part, is like what we're doing today. And by most accounts, like every time we have orientation, every BCBA that goes through that says it's the best orientation they've ever been. They've gone through most thorough, most clinically aligned, most excited, you know, most people in the time that we shared together would always highlight you as like one of the best parts about the orientation. And when I think about you and I think about the work that you do and the value that you bring at Centuria, as a product manager, you're like the positive glue that just like brings everyone together and pushes everyone forward. And I'm sure you get upset and I'm sure you get frustrated, but it never really shows. And every like barrier or obstacle that you see is just like a problem to solve and something to move through. And you do that with a smile. And I was hoping maybe you could talk through that because, you know, I think it's a really great quality of leadership that you have in that regard. We have leaders across our organization who are trying to work with team members to achieve a goal, to move something forward, who come in contact with barriers, problems, mistakes, challenges. And it's how we like handle those moments that is critical. And I've always seen you handle those moments like so incredibly graciously and well, and thought maybe we could talk a little bit about that.
Oh, thank you, Timothy. So there was one time in my career that somebody actually called me a Pollyanna, which is really funny, and it's an old Disney movie. But I wasn't always like this. I would say that, you know, if you would have caught me 10 years ago, I would have been a bit of a negative Nelly, where it was just like, oh, we're doing this again. And then I got feedback. And that feedback was some of the most hurtful feedback I've ever received. Mm. And yet it was completely necessary. Mm. It was completely necessary for somebody to just be blunt and saying, hey, you know, you are really hard to work with. And I was just like, oh, I never wanted to be that person. And I didn't realize that I was perceived like that. And so I had to do a lot of thinking about my style and how I perceived projects and how I worked with my team. And I, you know, I had a big heart to heart with them, and I apologized. I said, listen, I am really sorry. You know, this is not the kind of person that I want to be. And after that, I was just like, okay, new outlook. And that really allowed me to see, like, this is the kind of person that I want to deal with.
Yeah.
When I need help. And this is the kind of person that I want to be for that other person. Because there's always going to be a solution. Mm-hmm. We're always going to be able to find it. And whether it means that I am escalating to the amazing people that I work with, or whether it's just like, you're just going to dig deep and we're like, okay, let's figure it out together. That's what I prescribe to. And I think that's helped me really along the way to be able to process even like negative moments.
Yeah.
And, you know, externally, everything's cool. And, you know, internally, I'm just like, oh my gosh. So I might seem like a still pond on the outside, but just know that on the inside, you know, it's hectic. But I never want somebody to worry. You know, we work with amazing people, and there is a solution. We just need to find it.
Yeah,
that showed up for me, Lisa, and with Loida, and that clinician orientation is one thing that I like. I really get excited about the mm-hmm. new team members that we're bringing on, and yet I have a calendar that's always full and changing. And you know, it got to a point where like making certain times for clinical orientation work were like really hard for me, and I often felt guilty about it, and felt like shameful about it. Like I couldn't meet this priority, keep this like appointment, and instead of Loida like saying, "Hey, jerk, like why can't you make right?" Like she took a proactive approach and assumed best intent, and like mm-hmm. I know you want to be here, and I know it's a priority, but like how can we work together to like make this work? And it was so relieving, Loida, because that's just typically not how most people like take an approach, especially when there's like demands and high priority things of that sort. And it was just such a relief the way you handled that. And if I hadn't said thank you, I'm saying thank you now.
Oh, you're welcome. And it's my pleasure. I think one of the pleasures of orientation, whether it's clinical or it's resource center or even behavior technician, because I've welcomed new behavior technicians to the company. You're getting people in their raw form. You know, this is like, this is like the best time for them. And before I joined Centria, it had been 17 years since I was a new person.
Yeah.
And I was not emotionally prepared for what that would be like. Mm-hmm. So I certainly called my first couple of weeks here disorientation.
Yeah.
but then I realized that I can actually help somebody feel good on their first day. Mm-hmm. And that's incredibly empowering, that I can help set the tone, you know, hopefully for their career here at Centria. Sure. To let them know that we are approachable. There's mm-hmm. no bad question.
Yeah.
And so I find a lot of joy in talking to people that are brand new, and talking to people, even, you know, the trainers that reach out to me that need assistance. I'm like, okay, I got this.
Yeah.
I got this. We can do this together.
Yeah. Something you said really resonated with me, that, you know, every problem is solvable. Right. And I completely agree with you, but I think that that is something that really beautifully articulates a mindset that you carry, which is, I think, another reason why you are somebody that people gravitate towards working with, is that you absolutely have a growth mindset. It's not just that things are, like, you know, fixed as, like, good, bad, right, wrong. This is, like, the smartest you'll ever get. This is all you'll ever know. And, you know, I think you exude that, but from knowing you a little more, one of the things that I just really appreciate about you is, you know, you love learning. And that is, like, self-admitted. I think that's a core value of yours. And I'm not sure I've ever shared this with you, but I know early on, before COVID, so it was within your first year, we used to have, like, the HR leader meetings, if you remember those.
Yes.
And I feel like when I was giving my updates, you were always asking questions. And we were kind of getting to know each other, too. And I, you know, being a more junior leader at that point in time, I was like, man, is Lloyda really trying to make me look dumb? Because, of course, it was all about me, right? And I remember, like, really having that level of insecurity. And it took us, like, a little while of getting to know each other and me realizing, like, no, this has nothing to do with me. This is Lloyda being so curious because she wants to understand why she's doing what she's doing. And also, you had a team of people that you were rolling things out to make sure that it was relevant, it made sense. And I think, you know, that two things that I'd like to kind of talk about with that. One is, like, how do you curate that curiosity, right? Where you really want to continue to learn more because I think it served you so well, and why you are like a Swiss Army knife, like, just like, you know, in so many ways, you are adding value beyond what your title or role is here. And so I'd love to spend a little bit of time on that, and just how you continue to be always curious and what it is that drives that.
Can I add some context here too? Because, like, one of the things that we're working on as an organization is how do we develop that with our leaders who are leading people when we're communicating to them, right? Like,
yeah,
it's really important for us to, like, be good communicators across the organization, and we're rolling out things, changing, celebrating, whatever it may be. And that requires leaders to be curious and ask questions and get mm-hmm. to a point of clarity and be okay with asking those questions. And so I think it's a really poignant topic as well for us.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head, Timothy. It's asking questions. It's being comfortable yeah. asking questions mm-hmm. and knowing that it doesn't make you less.
For sure.
Because I think that's, in the beginning, at least for me, you know, as many books as there are on leadership and as many discussions as I've had, you know, sometimes you learn by doing and by making errors. And I thought in the beginning that I had to have all the answers. Mm-hmm. And then I realized along the way that I don't have to have the answers. And sometimes it's my team members that are going to have the answers. And that's even better.
Yeah.
You know, when you can empower them to speak up. I have had and have people that report to me that I don't have their skill sets.
Sure.
You know, they have different roles that they play. And my job is to support them. And I support them by asking, how can I support you? Mm-hmm. And by learning more about their role.
Absolutely.
I have an instructional designer who reports to me who's amazing. Can I do what she does? Nope. Yeah. But I've learned to speak the language. Mm-hmm. And I've learned and I've watched so I can find ways to support her. But that curiosity is really, it's pivotal. When I started with Centria, I tell this story to clinicians all the time. I'm like, I'm not a clinician. I couldn't even say that I play one on TV. when I interviewed with Lisa, I had looked up the videos because there were a lot of videos on YouTube.
Yeah.
Which were, oh, amazing. And I looked up ABA because I didn't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know a thing. And I came in and I interviewed, and Lisa told me so much more about ABA, and she really sold me on the mission. And then when I started, I was just like, this is a whole new world for me, because
mm-hmm.
I came from healthcare. So if you were to ask me about acronyms that have to do with medical, like strokes and hypertension and all those things, I would have been all over it. But you start talking about ABC, and I was like, let me just write that down. Because I didn't know what it meant. But I think for me, it's part of what drives me is I want to help people. And the only way to help people is to learn more.
Sure.
So it doesn't cost me anything to ask questions. And I found that the more questions you ask, people feel like you're genuinely interested in what they do. And I am.
Absolutely.
Once I realize that people are open to questions, I've never stopped asking.
Yeah. I think you've touched on something too in what you just said, that it's kind of like this epiphany that I think a number of leaders have at points where I think early on in your career, there's that like, and I don't know who's telling us this, but there's that belief that you have to know everything.
Yes.
Like you have to be the go-to, you have to be the person, you need to know everything. And I think, you know, as you kind of grow and mature as a leader, you realize like there's a lot of power in admitting that like, I don't know, but I'll find out. And that actually is a bigger driver of human connection in the workplace than having a facade of just like, you know, knowing everything, which no one reasonably anticipates or expects you to have anyways.
Right.
And yeah, I think about that, like with you, just your curiosity is something now that I'm like, what questions do you have, Lloyd? Because you ask the best ones, you know, I think it's so helpful that you, I don't know, that you were able to kind of transcend that, like, no one's going to think I'm dumb if I ask a question. In fact, it's going to help me be that much better at what I'm trying to do. And to Timothy's point, it's going to help me explain the overall objective to my team that much better so they can be kept apprised. And you know, I think about the individuals that you've had and led and managed, and like they stick around for a long time. And yeah. No doubt it's because they really enjoy working for a humble leader who's curious and is going to give them thoughtful information to do their role well, but also knows that it's okay to ask questions.
Senior leader now, I've actually now welcomed those questions. Like,
yeah.
To your point earlier, Lisa, I have a few team members right now that like ask a lot of questions. And
yeah.
Like, as a junior like leader, I also was insecure. But if I get to the truth of the insecurity, it was more like frustration that like I didn't think about that. And I don't have an answer for that. And so like, and instead of being like honest about that and vulnerable about that, it was more like just shut it down. Right. Like,
yeah.
I'm too uncomfortable going into that space, right?
Yeah.
But like now we're rolling something out across the organization. Like we want those questions. Like yep. We need to know, and we need to think through all the different perspectives. And that's like, you know, one of the values of having many different team members from different perspectives and different backgrounds is like, we need to know all that. And all those questions need to be answered if we're going to be successful.
Yeah. I know. I'm just like thinking about this now too, because we probably all, and hopefully like some of the people who are listening, like we've all been on the meeting and you're like, oh, I don't want to speak up. I don't want to ask, you know, I don't want to look this specific way, but yeah, I mean, I think back to some of those meetings that, you know, we had years ago and you probably weren't the only person wondering,
100%.
You know? No, I mean, I like implore people, like ask the questions.
Ask questions, yeah.
And yeah, like be curious.
Well, and sometimes you need somebody to break the ice.
Sure.
And I'm willing to be that person. I'm
yep.
completely comfortable just saying, I have questions. You
yeah.
know, and once you open up that dam, people are like, oh, me too.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes as leaders, it's on us to help break that ice.
Yeah.
Because you have team members that are very bright. I mean, I've worked with a lot of different people at Centuria. Mm-hmm. And I remember my first couple of weeks here, I'm just like, oh my gosh, Like, there is just a multitude of extremely bright, passionate people. And, you know, just being able to surround yourself with that kind of like energy is amazing. And then to be able to channel it into either projects or their role is a privilege.
Yeah, no doubt on that. Okay, we got like a little bit of a wild card question.
Roll it. All right, bring it.
So, you know, we were thinking about this because there's a lot of fun things about Loida. And, you know, some are that if you're going to have a video call with Loida, it's almost impossible to not have one of your animals on the call, whether it's your cats that just want to be part of the call, or sometimes you hear your dog in the background.
Yep.
But I thought a more fun thing.
The cat's face, though. I'll just let you know. I never see the head of
the cat. The tail.
Sometimes it's like right over my face, so it looks like I'm sporting a pretty like luscious mustache.
I will say it is a very active cat tail. But I feel like I'm going to ask a question because at one point, you know, you said, oh, I just had a weekend where I didn't have anything to do. I would sit on the couch and I would watch some anime. So what TV shows are you into right now that you would recommend?
Oh, okay. So firstly, My Little Pony.
Yes.
Strawberry Shortcake. All of those are done, right?
Yeah.
So I did have to move on. I do watch the occasional SpongeBob because I'm a big Squidward fan.
Yeah.
But right now, believe it or not, I am into true crime.
Ooh.
So there's something that's really interesting about it for me. Not the awfulness of the crime, but just court proceedings. I've been watching a lot of court proceedings. And honestly, I'm a little embarrassed to say that it started with the Johnny Depp trial. I am. I'm embarrassed to say it. I was there for all of it. Well, I watched it after work, of course. But, you know, just how much work goes into trials is amazing to me. And how much these lawyers have to become experts in order to ask experts questions.
Yeah.
And I find that fascinating. And I'm also on a body language kick.
Okay.
Where I'm reading books about body language and how to interpret it. You know, the whole like looking to the left thing is a misnomer.
Yeah.
But it's like all of those things are very interesting. I find people to be fascinating.
I was just going to say, you seem like you like human behavior. You might be in the right industry.
Yeah. People are fascinating to me. Just how they operate. That's currently what I'm on. So if I had a weekend where I could do whatever I want, you probably find me on YouTube checking out court cases. Yeah. And actually, I've been able, now I find myself like yelling, that's hearsay, you know.
She's going to start objecting in your team meetings.
What's your why, Loida?
My why? Why am I at Centria? Or why am I still at Centria?
Yeah.
All
above, yeah.
So I came to Centria because I wanted to truly believe and work for a company that really modeled their mission. And Lisa sold me on it. She did. And I was just like, all right, I'm going to take a chance. And I haven't been disappointed.
That's awesome.
You know, throughout the 5 years, I've seen Centria grow. Mm-hmm. And I've seen Centria take some missteps. Mm-hmm. But I've seen them pivot. You know, so that's what I really appreciate about Centria is, you know, we go a million miles a minute, but when we find something that doesn't work, we stop doing it.
Yep.
We don't just linger and wait for it to, it's just going to get better. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it's just like you have to have people that take quick action. But I like waking up in the morning and knowing that even though I'm not client facing, I work and I support people that are. And while I have had the privilege of visiting a couple centers, and I've watched a whole lot of videos, the work that we do is beautiful. And I like knowing that.
Absolutely.
So while I don't make a direct difference to our clients. I know that the people that I work with and support do. So that's my why. When I introduce the mission to clinicians every week, you know, I mean it. You know, I say it, didn't think I'd ever memorize it. I know it by heart. and I can't imagine working anywhere else.
That's awesome. When I think about your legacy, I don't know, like kind of in this, right? I mean, you have probably been able to help impact a couple hundred clinicians at least. But when you think about the work that you've done also with the behavior technicians and the training, I mean, now we're in the thousands of individuals. So to your point, you aren't working with the clients, but you have been almost an integral part of the journey of those that have. And I don't know, I think that that's huge, the opportunity for impact that you've had on bringing that mission to life through enabling those individuals and getting them excited about what we do here.
Well, I think too, and just being honest, you know, one of the things that I tell clinicians, and I remember Timothy, you said this during one of the orientations, and it really stayed with me that you were just vulnerable and you said, we don't have it all figured out. But, you know, as you progress in your journey with Centria, I want you to give us the benefit of the doubt and assume that we have good intentions. Mm-hmm. And I say that all the time to people. It's just like, hey, when in doubt, just assume that we have the best intentions and maybe something wasn't communicated. Mm-hmm. Or maybe we did make a misstep, but just give us a chance to fix it.
Sure.
And I think that's incredibly powerful to hear from a new team member. You know, awesome. Not everything is like unicorns and rainbows.
Sure.
But, you know, it doesn't stop us from trying and working to achieve like a really amazing place to work mm-hmm. and to provide the very best therapy that we can to our clients.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Thank you, Loida, for this time.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Thank you for your work. You've just been such a great team member along the journey here, and I just appreciate all that you do.
Well, I look forward to many more years.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Loida.
Thank you.
And that concludes another episode of us telling the stories of our incredible staff and their work to support our powerful mission. Until next week, do wonders.